Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, follow the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. Boy, this is going to be an awesome week. It already has begun with the HBCU Classic on Friday and then the Futures game yesterday with Gage Wood, the draft on Saturday and Sunday, and of course tonight, the Home Run Derby. I am going to be there, watch it with my kids. I've never been to a Home Run Derby. I'm so excited to go. I've always loved the baseball All-Star game. It's the one that I still watch every year. I watch the Home Run Derby. I'm a baseball guy, and I just found it fun. And now to be able to have one here in Philadelphia and to be part of this is awesome. They were going to be at the park doing the show leading up to the Home Run Derby, of course, and then tomorrow the All-Star game. So it's going to be a great day. Sanchez on the mound. Phillies close out the first half of the season. And, you know, the first half, I say in quotes, because they're well over 90 games played. But they close the first half with a series victory in Detroit. And really what stuck out to me this weekend, aside from Derek Hill just making plays all over the place, and how they fought and grinded to win that game yesterday, one of the better wins of the season. But what stood out to me yesterday in the ninth, but specifically in the eighth on Saturday, is Jonathan Bolin. And I have started to wonder if the Phillies have found their eighth inning man here in Jonathan Bolin. You know, you look at the numbers the last 2 months or so, Jonathan Bolin has been one of the more effective relief pitchers in all of baseball in terms of strikeout rate, in terms of ERA, in terms of, really effectively, efficiently getting out. He doesn't walk many batters. I am a fan. He's a guy that you look at and he has the look of a relief pitcher, of a big-time relief pitcher. The stuff is there. And you wonder if Dombrowski made it a really under-the-radar excellent move by trading Matt Strom, who looks to be going backwards this year. And obviously, it kind of got on some nerves here at the end. For Bolin, more team control. And right now, just clearly and just without question, a more effective Major League Baseball relief pitcher. But now the big question is with Bolin, can he be trusted to higher leverage roles? You saw it Saturday night when he was called on to get those outs in the eighth inning, and he got the double play by Torkelson. Huge outs for the Phillies to hold on and win that baseball game. And you kind of think of where this bullpen is right now. Duran is as good as it gets. You know, if it's Mason Miller than everybody else, he starts the everybody else. You know, it's that, you know, Smith in Cleveland, it's Aroldis Chapman. I mean, there's not many that are better or even in the same class as Duran. Even if you want to put Miller, it's just one notch above everybody else in Major League Baseball. Duran is right underneath it. So Duran is excellent, and he is trustworthy, and he's been phenomenal. After that, the Phillies bullpen has been largely a disaster for the past month or so, except Jonathan Bolin. And as the Phillies try to figure out what they have, who they have, Brad Keller now back off the injury list this week. We'll see how he kind of works his way back and if he could become the guy they thought they got as an $11 million year pitcher. My instinct tells me no. It was a career year last year. Other than like what I saw early in the season, you know, now obviously the injury is probably part of that, of the soreness of the forearm, but I didn't like it. When I watch Brad Keller, I get a lot of shade to Tommy Hunter. A guy that was a failed starter, had one good year with a smart team out of the bullpen. Philly signed him and it just didn't work out. Now, he's probably going to end up more durable than Tommy Hunter, but we'll see. I mean, I can't count on Brad Keller based on what I've seen so far this season. Kirkering, you know, nice guy. We had him on spring training, and he's a nice guy. But Orion Kirkering is not someone I want on the mound in a big moment. He just isn't. He has shown time and again he doesn't handle those moments well. You know, he's a sixth-inning relief pitcher to me. And when you start, you know, putting him in these huge spots, seventh, eighth, and ninth inning on the road in a playoff game, you know, I remember Arizona. I remember Los Angeles. I've seen it too many times with this guy. So I don't want that. And you kind of start going through it. I mean, the lefties are difficult to trust. They had to get rid of Banks, you know, put him on the, you know, injured list or whatever. You know, Alvarado's had some weird luck this year, but it also hasn't been good. Meza had pitched well until the blow up on Friday night. There's just not much out there you trust. Seth Johnson, I mean, come on. So Bolin has kind of risen up in a group of blah, or in a group of not very good. He's been the best. Now, does that mean he's that good? Does it mean he's ready? Well, he's the most ready right now. And I think you're seeing a shift in the way Don Mattingly is managing his bullpen to where he's starting to trust Bolin over everybody else not named Duran. And if that's the case, the Phillies have a few weeks here, and I think they should give Bolin as many high leverage, big moment spots as they could possibly give him to see how he handles it, to see what's really happening here in front of our eyes. Because if they have stumbled upon their eighth inning man and he's good, it does change the calculus of the trade deadline. I continue to think the Phillies are going to add three different things to the trade deadline. A bat, specifically in the outfield, most likely a right-handed hitting bat. You know, a right fielder. They're going to add a back-end starting pitcher for depth, and they're going to add a relief pitcher. Now, the tiers of the kind of players they get, I think, is still be determined. If I had to guess, that the least high-end player they're going to get is the starting pitcher. I think they're just going to patch it together. Just be a fifth starter, just be depth, and don't kill us. That's what I think they're going to find. And I think that will be cheap. I think they're going to then decide, do they put their eggs in the basket of, you know, let's say a B outfielder and a C reliever, or a B reliever and a C outfielder? I think that is the calculus they're going to figure out. They're probably going to get a C-minus pitcher. But that's the calculus they're going to decide based on where they are with luxury tax, where they are with the sellers, where they are with the market, and where they are with their own club. That's what I think the next few weeks are going to be about. Where are we? How do we go from here? And what can we trust? And I think the more contributions they get from guys that are already on the team, the more it impacts the calculus on what they add to the team. Like, let's use Derek Hill, for example. Derek Hill's been phenomenal as a Philly. Phenomenal. Now, do you want to overexpose him? Probably not. But game to game, day to day, you know, if the Phillies had, let's just play it out. Let's say they get an everyday right fielder. Let's say it's Taylor Ward, for example. And you just plug him in, you know, he's a right fielder the rest of the season. Well, you could start thinking about down the stretch of the season how they want to divide playing time between Derek Hill and Justin Crawford. And, you know, you could do the platoon thing where Hill plays against a lefty and Crawford plays against a righty. But you could also see a scenario where down the stretch of the season, they look at themselves like, Derek Hill's the better player. Right now, today, Derek Hill's the better player. He's got to start the biggest games. I don't care what the hand of the other pitcher is. He's got to start the biggest games. But you could also factor in, you know, Crawford starts and then Hill's a good pinch hitter and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's all part of the equation. But, you know, that works itself out if you have a solidified right fielder. Same thing if you have a solidified true setup man, it could change the equation on the kind of bullpen arm you get. You know, do the Phillies need a lockdown high-end relief pitcher? Do they need to dive into the Aroldis Chapman market? And by the way, I don't even know if Chapman's going to move. The Red Sox are on fire, probably the hottest team in baseball heading into the break. They're like a half a game out of a playoff spot. So I am not certain that the Boston Red Sox are going to sell. They have really come on in a way. I like this Red Sox team coming through the season. I did. And I felt like a fool in April. I'm like, man, I like them. They sink. And now you're starting to see the vision come to life where they're pitching, they're playing defense, they're getting more offense. The fact they've done this all without Roman Anthony and Garrett Crochet, you know, the Red Sox, if I'm running that team, I'm reluctant to sell. I'm like, hold on a second. This American League stinks. We get Roman Anthony back. I get Crochet back. I got a lot of pitching. I've got Whitlock and Chapman in the back end of my bullpen. So I don't even know if those guys are going to be available. I did an episode last week. Go back and check it out. Five relief pitchers the Phillies could target. And then two of them are on the Red Sox. And I'm like, if I'm the Red Sox, why am I selling right now? So back to Bolin and what he's done. He's got the look to him. He's got the stuff. Now we got to find out if he has the moxie and does he have the guts to pitch these big leverage spots. Because let's be clear what these leverage spots are going to be. You know, this is tie game or up 2-1, up 3-2, eighth inning. Here comes Ohtani and Freeman and Betts and Smith and Tucker and Pies. go get three outs. I mean, that is as hard as it gets in the sport right now. Go get three outs. Here comes Harris, and here comes Olsen, and here comes Acuna. Go get three outs. Get the ball to DeRozan. It's extremely difficult. Extremely difficult to get those outs in those spots. You know, the Brewers don't have quite those household names on offense, but go get Churio. Go get Yelich. Go get Mitchell. You know, go get Terrain. Terrain's a heck of a player. Heck of a player. Go get those guys. It's hard. It is hard. You know, I think the Pirates are going to come on in the second half. They could be in this mix. There's a bunch of teams that are really good, and you might have to get those guys out. And Jonathan Bolin right now is the best option. Does it mean the Phillies should sign over the eighth inning to him and then get a lesser reliever? I think the Phillies are going to get land a relief pitcher. But what they see at a bowl in the next couple of weeks, what they're seeing internally, what they're feeling internally, has to play a huge role here. And then you have to look at his track record year by year as he's gone through the majors and the minors, because he hasn't been in the majors very long. How is his stuff held up in September, in August, September? I know there hasn't been October, but August, September, how is his stuff held up? Does he usually hold up strong? How's his body feeling right now? What are the trainers saying? Is he a good bet? Because if he continues on this trajectory, there's a real chance he is an October relief pitcher that belongs in high leverage. Now, you could say, Joe, you need two. Or you need two guys in front of at least Duran that you could believe in. Okay. I agree. So you can go get another one. And maybe you could focus your thought process on more of a left-hander. That's why Chapman would fit so well. I mean, if this Bolin that we're seeing right now is the guy we're going to get for the rest of the season, and you can add an Aroldis Chapman and you still go big there, I mean, you can make a case it's game over, lights out after six. It's Bolin, Chapman, Duran. It's Duran, Bolin. I mean, you do the order you want. I mean, they're going to keep Duran at the end, but it's Chapman, Bolin, Duran, you know, however you want to do it. So you could go big, including Bolin. You could leave Bolin as the eighth inning guy, go smaller in the bullpen. Or you could say, you know what? We like him. He's on his way. He's not there yet. We're not fully ready to trust a World Series bullpen over to Jonathan Bolin as a setup guy. Let's go get someone else. And the Phillies would be well on the rise to do any of these. And look, they could be scarred by past ways they've gone about their bullpen. I mean, let's just be honest about it. They have struggled in these big moments in Octobers. The 2024 bullpen is the most puzzling one. That team had an excellent bullpen. They had the kind of bullpen that should have dominated through the month of October, and they just picked a bad week to have a bad week, from Strom to Hoffman to Carlos Estevez. They picked a bad week to have a bad week. I never loved Estevez, but Hoffman was money that year heading into his free agency, and he just gave it up. And Strom was good that year, and he just gave it up. They really just had a tough time. But 23, they went in, you know, it wasn't a World Series champion bullpen. I knew that. You knew that. Between Kimbrel and Kerkering, they didn't have enough, and they ignored it. So, you know, the ghosts of playoffs past get us all. The ghosts of playoff past are in everyone's head. And it's going to be up to them to decide, and Dave Dombrowski to decide how they want to approach what they do with this particular need on the team right now and how much they trust their guy. And the new guy they traded for, I think that adds an extra layer. This isn't a random free agent signing. This is a guy they targeted, traded for, and wanted the team control on, with Jonathan Bolin. I think the Phillies have found their eighth inning man for now. Next couple of weeks out of the break will be huge in determining if he is the eighth inning guy into August, into September, and how much they pour into this bullpen, which obviously could use a reinforcement or two before we get to the trade deadline on August 3rd. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. We got so much to get to live at Citizens Bank Park today. Be tuned in. It's an awesome time for Philadelphia this summer. It's an awesome time for the big baseball fan like I am and you are. And it's an awesome time right now for Major League Baseball to be here. I'm so excited for today and for tomorrow, and Philadelphia to once again be the showcase of the sports world. Can't wait for it. I I was walking around Friday getting my credential, and I'm going to be in the stadium today, but I just know this place is ready. And I know the people here have done an incredible job to get this place ready, to showcase itself, to put on a show for the sport. Thanks so much for listening. As always, the WIP Daily.